Welcome to the True North Community Church Podcast.
Okay, so this is week two in a message series called Why Worry? And we talked a little bit last week, just in case you weren't here, we talked about how there's kind of a continuum when it comes to worry. There's a bit of a spectrum, right? And people on this side of the continuum over here worry about absolutely nothing. People on this side of the continuum, they just don't worry. Like, it doesn't matter what tragedy or disaster or horrible set of circumstances may unfold in their life. They're like, oh no, cool, bro, we're good. And then there's people way over here on this side of the spectrum who worry about absolutely everything, who feel like it's their job to restore the cosmic balance of worry in the universe, and they know that those dudes are over there not worrying, so they have to worry twice as much to make up for them, and they just worry about everything all the time. Now, obviously, those are caricatures, right? Those are extreme pinpoints. None of us probably are at either extreme end of that, but we probably all know to which side of the continuum we lean. We probably all know what our general tendency kind of leans toward, right? And what we kind of discussed last week is that regardless of which side of the continuum we lean toward, we've all agreed worry is just not productive. Like, worry doesn't give any help to the subject of its own concern. Let me say that again. Worry doesn't give any help to the subject of its own concern. So whatever it is you're worried about, that thing that you're worried about, is not helped or improved by your worrying about it. It doesn't do the thing any good. It accomplishes nothing productive. And so we started talking a little bit last week about how, pretty much everyone in the universe has agreed that worry is not a good thing and it's not productive, well, why don't we just stop it? Because it's not easy to stop it. And what we started to touch on last week and that we're going to kind of dive into again this week is that worry is rooted in our emotions. And our emotions are deeply connected to what we are devoted to. And that's what Jesus is going to kind of, we're going to kind of dive in and look at some of the teachings of Jesus on this. The deal with worry is worry sucks us into the future, doesn't it? Worry is a great definition of worry. It's a preoccupation with tomorrow. We don't worry about now. Now is right in front of us. Now, we're dealing with the now on a moment-by-moment basis. We are experiencing the now. We don't worry about the now. Worry takes us to the future. Worry sucks us forward on the timeline. So what happens is, when we are worried, we are mentally projecting ourselves to a forward eventuality. We're mentally projecting ourselves to a future time when said thing may occur. So what happens is, when we worry and we project ourselves into the future, we're unable to be fully present with the people we're with at the current time. We're unable to be fully present with the job that we're called to do in the current moment. We're unable to do anything that God has given us to do. We're unable to fully enjoy anything that we might be enjoying. We're unable to be fully present when we are worried, because a part of us is in the future. Everyone with me? Jesus calls us back to the now. Jesus is calling us back to the here and now. Somebody once said, worry is like prayer in reverse. Worry is like prayer in reverse. Prayer and giving these things to God and trusting God with these issues, and this is kind of where I'll tee up again here and restate this, because I thought it was kind of a big point from last week, main teaching point from last week. When it comes to worry, we're going to do all that we can do to help the situation. And then we're going to trust God to do what we can't. That was sort of where we landed last week. When it comes to the things that we are worried about, and they are legit, they're out there. When it comes to the things that we're worried about, whenever possible, we're going to do all that we can do to help the situation. And often there are some things we could do to help the situation. So we do all that we can do to help, and then we trust God to do what we can't do. So what happens when we pull that off, and I'm not saying that's easy, but when we can pull that off, it resizes the worry, okay? So if this piece of paper is what we're worried about, these are my sermon notes, wanna see? No. If this piece of paper is what we're worried about, right? And and we pray about it and we get perspective, all of a sudden we're able to zoom out a little bit. Actually, I'll use the bottle of water, better illustration. If the water bottle is what we're worried about, when we pray, it allows us to step back from it. Now, okay, this is our worry. This is the object of our worry. I can still see it. I'm still worried about it. But I've got a little perspective, and I can see lots of other stuff now too. Everyone with me? Prayer gives me perspective. Worry is like prayer in reverse. When we worry, the object of the worry goes like this. And now it's right here, and it's, whoa! Oh my gosh, it's so big. It's huge. How come, and some of you are worried, like for some of you, because you worry, the object is so big to you, you don't understand why everyone else isn't freaking out. To you, it really is this big, and you cannot understand how everybody else could be so chill, because to you, it's just so huge, and it's not that everyone else isn't freaking out when they should be freaking out. It's that they're either seeing it at a normal perspective, or even seeing it at a greater perspective through prayer, and you, because of your worry, are praying in reverse and making the object bigger. With me? That's what worry does. So Jesus is calling us to think differently and live differently on this. First verse we're going to look at this morning comes from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Now, I know that's a really churchy thing to say, and it's a very Christian thing to say. Well, you know that God cares about you. And some of you have heard that before. God loves you. God cares about you. And that's fine to nod and go, yes, thank you for that, preacher. Appreciate that. It's great. You know, I've heard that before. But the truth is, many of us, if we could just pump the brakes on this for a minute and tee up, many of us don't actually live our lives as if we believe that God cares about us. And what we're getting here right from the Bible is that God sees you, knows you, and cares about you. And it's easy enough to live our lives and go, yeah, look, God, I'm sure he's out there somewhere and I love him, but he's probably awfully busy running the universe. He's got a full-time job being the general manager of the cosmos. I don't know if he sees me. I don't know if I, little old me on Long Island, I don't know if I pop up on his radar, you know? It's easy to think that God's just busy, doesn't see us, and whatever. And what we're getting from the scripture is that, no, God does see you, does know you, and that he cares about you so that we're called to give. It says, give your worries and cares to the Lord. Now, that is interesting because worries and cares are two different things. They've been personified. So in other words, what we're called to give to God is not just the object of our concern. We are called to give God the worry itself. Let me make sure you get it. Worries and cares. Cares is what you care about. That's the thing that you're worried about, okay? So let's say you're worried about your job or whatever's going on with your job. You're saying, I'm going to trust you with whatever's going on with my career, and I'm giving that to you, but I still have the worry, so I'm going to give you the worry as well. Worry has been objectified. Worry is being treated like an object that you can move around, and it's telling us, give the object of the worry to God and give the worry itself to God. Give him two things. The thing and the worry. Everyone with me? Give God the worry as well. Just say, look, I don't want it. I don't need it. It ain't doing me any good. You take it. That's what we got here in scripture. Okay? Now, when Jesus dives into this, he begins immediately to talk about our emotions and our devotion. Because the truth is, we worry about the things that we are emotionally connected to. We worry about what we are emotionally connected to. And Jesus understands human nature and knows that if we're gonna stop worrying and we're gonna defeat worry in our life, we're not gonna pull that off by just working harder to stop worrying. What is gonna be required is a shift in our devotion. Let me explain. I talked a little bit last week about how I don't spend a ton of time staying up late at night worrying about your kids' grades in school. Remember me talking about that? And I know some of you, that just shattered your image of me. Because you just figured I was up all night praying for little Billy to do better on his math test then. I love little Billy. I'm sure he's a great kid. But I got three kids of my own at home, and I don't have any emotional bandwidth left over to pray about how your kids are doing at school. I love your kids, and if there's a crisis, I sure do want to know about it. But day to day, I am emotionally invested in my three children. Those are the guys that I worry about. Those are the guys that I pray for. I pray for my daughters and my son. I pray for my family because I am devoted to them emotionally. Everybody with me? We worry about what we are devoted to emotionally. Emotion drives devotion. That's what Jesus is kind of getting at. So that's the underpinning concept to what he brings out in these verses. Matthew chapter 26, we read a couple of these. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. We read a couple of these verses last week. Dive in with me. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? And this is where we left off last week. This stings a little bit. You of little faith. You with so little confidence in God. Jesus isn't normally this sharp with his general listening audience. He saves his sharper words. He saves his directed barbs at the religious elite. He usually talks that way only when speaking to Pharisees. But here he's talking to his general audience and he just goes, you with so little confidence in God. You're acting like you don't believe he exists. You're acting as if, here's what Jesus is telling us. He's saying there's a direct correlation between your faith and your worry. They are in fact inversely proportionate. What that means is big faith, little worry. Little faith, big worry. With me? That's what he's saying here. He said, come on, God got you this far. God got you this far, right? Can he be trusted with the next step? Or do you have to jump into the future and start worrying about what's coming? Can God be trusted with the next step? Or is it on you to jump, to project yourself into the future and start freaking out about what comes next? Verse 31 says this, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, or how am I going to retire, or how am I going to pay for school, or how am I going to move out of my parents' basement, or how am I ever going to meet somebody? Am I going to be alone? Am I going to get over this thing? Am I going to, whatever, right? Why do you worry saying, because we have to fill in the blank, right? We don't worry about clothes, right? None of us are worried that we don't have anything to wear, right? Our issues are like we have too many clothes and we still don't have anything to wear. That's a different issue than what the Bible is saying, okay? These are people who might not have something to wear for real, you know? So we have to fill in the blank. We're not worried about whether or not we have enough to eat. Most of us, we're not worried about whether or not we're, you know, what we're gonna eat or drink or wear. We have to fill in the blank. So I just filled in the blank with a bunch of legitimate worries. We've got some legitimate concerns. So why are you worried about these things? Why are you so worried? Do you really believe God can't be trusted? Are you that freaked out about it? Are you certain that God isn't going to be there for you in that moment? Is it eating you alive that much? Here's the deal. One of the things for starters, let me just say this. Jesus is talking here to a believing audience. So some of you, this isn't going to apply to you. But what he's saying to believers here is we're supposed to look different than people who don't have God in their life. And our faith is supposed to be the thing that delineates us a little bit. That there ought to be some sort of semblance of, wow, I'm connected to God. Yes, there's a crisis, but I'm his. And I'm trusting him with my tomorrow. That is supposed to be a thing that differentiates people of faith from people who don't have faith. And it's funny. Getting back to this like emotion, devotion thing, once in a while somebody tries to draw me into a political argument, you know, and if you come to church here for any length of time, you know, I just don't do that. But once in a while somebody tries and they corner me and they say, well, come on, aren't you concerned about what's happening in our country? Aren't you concerned about what's the climate and what's going on? I mean, don't you care? And I always say the same thing. I say, of course I care. I love this country. I'm a patriot. I love our country and I pray for our president and our governing officials and I I love this country, but you know, the truth is, I am far more invested in a kingdom than I am invested in a country. I am a citizen of a king. I have a king before I have a president. I'm a member of a kingdom before I am a member, before I am a citizen of a country. The kingdom comes before the country in my heart every time. And that is the kingdom to which I am devoted, to that I am emotionally invested in. So do I care about our country? Of course I do. But I am far more devoted to God's kingdom. So my worries and my cares and my concerns lean more towards God's kingdom because my worries follow my devotion. Did you follow that? We worry about what we are devoted to. So Jesus is saying now to everybody, why are you worried about these things? Come on, let's talk about, can we talk for a minute about what you're devoted to? Don't worry about all that stuff. This is verse 32. For the pagans run after, are devoted to, care about, are obsessed with, are emotionally invested in. The pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Okay, so who are the pagans? This is not a reference to a biblical motorcycle gang. Okay, these guys are, for our purposes, a pagan, in first century literature, a pagan is somebody who simply doesn't believe in God or any God. A pagan is somebody who believes, I wouldn't use that word to describe people like this, but the Bible in the first century uses that word to describe people who think that this is all there is. That there are nothing supernatural, that this is the world and what you see is what you get, okay? So people who don't believe in God freak out about that stuff. People who think this is it freak out about that stuff. You're acting, this is Jesus talking now to his audience going, you're acting like God doesn't exist. You are behaving like a functional atheist. You're a functional atheist. You come to church on Sunday and claim that he's real and then you live the other 6 days as if he is not. This is Jesus calling us out a little bit and going, come on, if he's real, then you can trust him. If he's real, look, here's what we're getting. Worry is sucking you into tomorrow and you're all freaked out about tomorrow. And Jesus is saying, you don't have to worry in the here and now because I'm gonna be in the tomorrow. I'll still be there when you get there. I, the Lord, exist outside of your timeline. I see your lifeline like an author sees a book. I am here and there. I'm forward and I'm backward. I am in history, I'm in future. I don't exist in your linear timescape. I know I'm hitting you with some philosophy this morning and it's wow, I know. But God is saying, just tee up for a minute. I know you're freaked about tomorrow. I'm still gonna be there in the tomorrow. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, here's the answer. Seek first. Worry about first. Be devoted to first. Be emotionally invested in first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. All these things. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. What's the big idea in the Bible? What is the big concept in the Bible? It's something we talk about here from time to time. It's probably almost time for me to do a whole series on it. There is one big ultimate theme in the Bible. There are several themes that run throughout, but one big ultimate one, one big granddaddy theme that is the ultimate theme in the whole scripture from the first page of Genesis to the final page of Revelation, and that theme is the glory of God. It's the story of how amazing he is. I heard somebody say once, history is his story. It's all his. He's been telling this story since the dawn of time. He's going to be telling this story till the end of time. It's the story of how incredible he is. And for this time, for this window of time, you and I have been given a part to play in his story. You and I have been given an opportunity to play a part in God's amazing story. That's what we're doing with our life. We're glorifying God, playing the part he's given us to play in his story. Now that's hard to keep straight because for me personally, left to my own devices, I will not automatically focus on God's kingdom because I have a secondary kingdom that I'm kind of devoted to, and that's the kingdom of me. And I like to put on this little crown and be the king of Burt World. Okay? I like Burt World. Burt World is wonderful. You should visit there someday. Burt World is great. And here's what's up in Burt World. There's cheeseburgers. And I have three wonderful kids and a beautiful wife. And I should probably have put them before the cheeseburgers, but I'm hungry. So but I've got a church that I love, and I've got, you know, people, and it's a wonderful place. And when I have my little Burt World crown on, and I'm the king of Burt World, every time I see a person, I think to myself, how could this person enhance Burt World? How could they make Burt World a little better? Maybe they can make me feel the way I want to feel. Maybe they can give me what I want to get. Maybe I can use them in some way to enhance what I'm experiencing or what I'm doing. And even if I'm polite to you, and even if I'm smiling at you, and even if you leave feeling good after the interaction, there's something in the back of my mind that simply wants to use you for what I want and need. A little too close to home? It's right there. It's all right there in the back of my mind when I'm the king of Burt World. And when something goes wrong in Burt World, it's all on me. If somebody's mad at me, if something's wrong at the church, if something's wrong at the house, if there's a financial issue, if there's a financial crisis, I got to fix it. I got to be on it because I'm the king of Burt World. It's my little kingdom. And it's great because my little kingdom is all about me. And what God's calling me to in these verses, he's saying, dude, take off that stupid little crown. You look ridiculous with that thing on. Kick that to the side. You worry about my kingdom, says the Lord, and I'll take care of Burt World. You worry about my kingdom. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. Be devoted to, be invested in, be put into, be mindful of, and be present in his kingdom, in his world, and he will take care of all the other stuff. That's how you begin to do this. Jesus knew you're not just going to stop worrying because you decide to stop worrying. He understood that our worry follows our emotion, and our emotion and our devotion are connected. So we are going to worry about the things we are devoted to. So if we are going to overcome our worry, it is not going to be a matter of mere discipline to not worry. It is going to be a matter of shifting our devotion. So he says, seek my kingdom first, and all these things will be made yours as well. They will? Yeah, because God cares about you. Because he cares about you. And then he says this, therefore, verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Remember where we started? Worry sucks you into the future, yeah? Worry projects you into the future. And this is Jesus going, come back to now. Come back to the here and now. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't get sucked into the future. Don't get projected into an eventuality that may not ever come. Don't waste your time and your life and your energy in the future on that. You do what you can do. You trust me to do the rest, and then you come back to the here and now. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to figure itself out. You come back to the here and now, because there are people in the here and now that you need to be present with. There are people in the here and now that you need to be a blessing to. There are things that in the here and now that you need to get done and that you need to be focused on, and you are going to miss all of that if you're spending all of your time worrying about the future. Everyone with me? This is big. It's a big concept. Let the future worry about itself. It's going to sort itself out anyway. Listen, if I rewound the clock for you a year and said a year ago, what were you worried about? Most of you wouldn't even be able to remember. One person would remember. That's okay. I'll see you later. Felt compelled to verbalize that. Okay. Most of you, except for her, would not remember what you were worried about a year ago. One more? Really? That's what we're doing now? Okay. At least half of us wouldn't remember what we were doing last year. Can we start there? And guess what? A year from now, the stuff you're worried about now, it will have sorted itself out. It will. God is saying, don't project yourself into the future. Dial it back. Be here now. Be present with me now. Because when you jump into the future to that eventuality, you miss all the things I've put right in front of you. And right in front of you right now is an opportunity to live to your true purpose. Right in front of you right now is an opportunity to glorify God with your life, to be a blessing to somebody else, and to do the things God's calling you to do. And incidentally, sidebar, nothing resizes your worry better than helping somebody else with theirs. Many of you have played ball with us, and you filled out those little cards, and you put them out on we're painting the lobby with these little discs that have our worries on them. Because that's important, because worry isolates us and makes us feel like we're alone. You're not alone. God cares about you. He sees you. He's going to be all over this thing that you're worried about. That is not a promise, by the way, that it won't happen. Because sometimes the thing which we worry about happen. That's a promise that even if it does happen, God's going to be with us in that moment, and we are not going to walk alone, and we will, even in the difficulty, have an opportunity to live according to and aligned with the thing to which we are most devoted, His kingdom and His righteousness. And we're going to pause right there. We're going to pick this up next week for part 3. Let's close in prayer. Father, we love you. And we praise you, and we thank you for being so good to us and caring for us the way that you do. And Father, we just confess together that we're obsessed with worry, and we let it suck us right into the future, and we let it rob us of now. We let it rob us of the here and now. We've lost out, so many of us, on the opportunities you've given us, on the chances we've had to bless other people and experience the life you've called us to live. Worry has taken that stuff from us. Father, let us be people with courage enough and faith enough to give our worries and cares back to you, knowing that you really do care about us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.